Good morning. Today's class is for Mazel Tov for Svi and Eliza Simcha Shena Masha Bat Bracha. We just had a baby girl. Hashem give her success, health, wealth, and everything that her heart desires. This class is also in the yahrzeit of Shlomo Yosef ben Shmuel Halevi, and success and health for his daughter Esther Bat Shlomo Yosef. Also, Lushma Yochmel de Magdali, Simonema, Daniel Kohen Ben Yafa, Rufushal Mahabshal Ben Amina, Havdani Ben Sarah, the Shevan of the Shefele, Mary Tuvan Chaya, and success in Shemayam of the Shevan Raga, the Abu Shevan Emmet, the Shevan Shefa, Bad El Sheva, Reina Malka, the Toba Basha. Today is also the Yortzeit of Rav Chaim Luzzatto, the Ramchal. And today he wrote Mesilat Yesharim. Really, really amazing stuff. So today in my Hizbodidut, I get a lot of questions on bring things, obviously bringing these teachings down to practicality. So somebody asked me, give me practical ways on how to achieve joy. What practical? Obviously, we speak about the condition of joy, how great it is, and the importance of it, and how basically David Melech says God is your shadow. And the Baal Shem Tov says, whatever happens below, it really pretty much mirrors on high. So our job is to master our state below. So we, on high, they're happy also. When you're happy below, they're happy on high. And when they're happy on high, they shower you with blessings and goodness comes to the world. When you're unhappy below, and they're unhappy above, and then they audit you and say, why are you not happy? And ultimately, when we're not happy, The biggest problem with unhappiness is it doesn't align our heart and our mind together. So whatever we do, it basically we don't have intention. And imagine going through a world where nobody has good intentions. They're doing things, but the intentions are not good. You know, imagine a salesman working for you, and deep down they're working. They've interviewed with three other companies, but they're working for you. So intention is a big deal. So we're going to talk about 10 practical ways on how to get joy in your life. And I've seen these, they work 100%. And things that basically, in my life, when I see something is off, it basically I tweak. And you got to look at it is, imagine you're the CEO of your life. And all you have to do is change, is manage certain areas of your life. Just like you're the CEO, you're the coach of a team. And you have to manage these 10 players, these 11 players, these 5 players. And to the extent that you manage them well, you win. When you don't manage them well, you lose. We need to also recognize that our soul keeps score. You know, there's that body, the book that came out, Your Body Keeps Score. Basically, your soul keeps score. And I never forget, you know, being younger and going to Heat games and Dolphin games and entertaining myself my whole life. And at the end of the day, there was no joy at the end. It was a lot of entertaining. So really, really, we have to ask ourselves, the first question we have to ask ourselves is, what's the connection? How much of my life am I entertaining myself? And how much of my life am I empowering myself? That has to be, that ratio has to be completely healthy. If that ratio is off, it's going to be very difficult for you to maintain long-term happiness. We're pretty much, this is exactly what, it's exactly what the Mishilah Yisharim Ramchal says in his book, where he said, what did Paro do? He tried to get the Jews so busy that they didn't have time to contemplate, because if they had time to contemplate, they would have left. So what did he just had them busy. What do you do? I'm busy. Busy, I don't know, busy. So we have to make sure we're not busy doing nothing. We're not busy watching Netflix all day long. Watching busy on Instagram all day long. There's a time for entertainment. We cannot mentally handle growth 24 hours a day. But there's a time for entertainment, and there's a time to peak, and there's a time also. And that it's extremely important, these things. So the number one thing that I, again, that doesn't really go in particular order, but the order that came up to me in my Hizbodidut today. Number one. Clearly, your perspective is a big indication of your happiness. Your perspective. You know, our sages tell us either you're a guest in this world or the whole world owes you everything. So your ability to change your perspective, and your ego blocks your perspective. So what is your perspective? How much is your perspective? What is your perspective of, you know, when things go wrong? Do you expect everything to go right? You know, what is your perspective in life? And you see, when things go bad in life, people's perspective change. You all of a sudden you're driving, you see a car, you know, flipped on the road, person in an ambulance. Next thing you know, you're no longer listening to the music. Perspective change. You're grateful in the car. Look what happened with Florida the other day. Perspective, when there was no gas. Next thing you know, gas became a luxury to be able to drive to a gas station and pump your car. All of a sudden, just getting gas brought you happiness. So you could see, manage your perspective. Extremely important. Your job of the ego is to always see what's missing. The job of the soul is to see all that you have. So without proper perspective, we can't even get to second base. And the only way we can get through proper perspective is by having proper humility. When you're humble, you have perspective. When you have arrogance, you have no perspective. You get upset about every little thing, etc. So that's the first thing. Check your perspective in life, which will determine greatly your level of gratitude. If you're a guest, imagine you're a guest in this world, and you were given this whole day of a gift. You're grateful. You're grateful for the smallest things in our lives. Number two, manage your expectations. Happy people are able to manage their expectations. When you say, what kind of marriage should you have? Hey, listen, if I have a 70% happiness, that's pretty good for me. But if you're thinking I have to have 95% happiness, 95% in love, then what happens? Anything but 95 is going to be turned into resentment and turned into anger. So you have to manage your expectations. Manage your expectations on your weight. Manage your expectations on how much money you're supposed to make. If you think I should have made this by now, you're living in this with a story. And at the end of the day, you have to change that story. That means when life doesn't go as planned, which is exactly doesn't go as planned, you have to change your story. That means you have to manage your expectations. I expected my marriage to be this way. I expected this. That's an expectation. Who gave you that expectation? Let's say you woke up today and said, you know what, I'm going to make $1,000 in the stock market. And next thing you know, you made 10. So what happened? You're super happy. Let's say you woke up and said, I'm going to make 10,000 in the stock market today. And you made 1,000. You're super upset. So at the end of the day, change your expectations into appreciation. That's the second thing, is why am I upset? I had an expectation. I expected my spouse to do this. I expected my kids to do this. I expected that. I expected to close the deal today. That is your expectations. It's not reality. So we can always change that by changing, going from expectation into appreciation. Those are vital. Those two things, the first two, are vital. Because that's a mind game, and that's an opinion of what you think you should have made. That's not reality. It's your opinion. So you could wake up with the wrong opinion and the wrong things and expect that. And many times, you know, when people are, you know, going through spiritual work and they'll have a couple bad days, and it's like, what did you expect? Every day to be completely great? No, you're going to have off days. And then, you know, let's say you go to the gym. You have 4 or 5 good days and 1 or 2 days that you don't put 100%. Okay, that's good. We did good. Azamra. I'm focusing on the good things in my life, not the negativity. So manage your expectations. Otherwise, anger comes. Think about any reason we have any anger in our lives is because we had our expectations were not met, and that is only your opinion. It is not reality. Number three. This is more of the physical thing. You have to change your diet. Happiness can come at the end of your fork. You have to change your diet. Diet is huge. The reason why 90% of your serotonin, or 80 to 90, some crazy number, is determined by the way you eat. And if we don't have proper diets, unfortunately, we overeat or we eat the wrong things, you cannot get the serotonin. Your body cannot produce serotonin the way it's supposed to. We don't have, a lot of people are walking around with a tremendous amount of inflammation, which leads to 60 different, God forbid, the problems, including depression and including anxiety. So food is very connected to a lot of things. So I would change your diet immediately. The Rambam says this, the Baal Shem Tov says, before you deal with anything. Rav Nachman said it very carefully, that before you do teshuva on your soul, do teshuva on your body. Because again, the way you eat and how you eat, and how moody you are after you eat, and how tired you are, you're more likely going to go into opposite. So again, change your diet tremendously, and it should be more plant-based. Why plant-based? At the end of the day, all chaos comes from, according to Rav Nathan, is when we screw up the way God made the world. So what happens today? People, man gets involved and makes a 1 pound chicken into 5 pounds, GMOs, crosses, combines foods together, and your body cannot digest it the same way. So this is where the man, the man came down, there was no stomach issues. Specifically in America, everybody's got all kinds of digestive issues, which is leading to all kinds of issues. And just eating normal foods here can make you sick, which is incredible. You have the same foods in Europe, you can have, and it won't make you sick, but here you are. America, the bigger the better, not really. So change your diet immediately. If it's right away, you're not getting the right flow, change your diet. My energy is completely connected to my diet. I'll have the wrong lunch, my mood is off completely. I'll have the right lunch, I have contained energy. Extremely important on that. Number four, let things go and be merciful. That's a huge one. Because remember, our history becomes our story. His story becomes our history to the extent that we don't let things go in life. So if you're having a hard time with happiness, it's because you're probably dwelling on something that happened and you have not let it go. We've said this many times, and we'll get the same story over and over, repeatedly the same thing, until we take our situation and elevate it to wisdom. And that's why wisdom is the memory without the emotion. So our job is to really take events that happen. After the event, there's a certain emotion, and that emotion itself will continue to play until you decide to upgrade by taking it and bringing it to emunah. So it's extremely, extremely important that wisdom is the memory without emotion. Think about a situation. If you have a hard time letting go, it's because that's exactly the prize you're going to get by letting go. Understand? We know today exactly from the resistance how valuable something is in our lives. The resistance is teaching us how valuable something is in our lives. That's how you know how valuable it is, because otherwise there would be no resistance. Nobody has resistance watching Netflix. Nobody has resistance eating ice cream. Nobody has resistance going out to dinner. But we do have resistance in Hizbodidut, in working out, in changing our diets, in sitting down and letting go. That's where the gold is. The gold is where the resistance is. It's not where it's easy for you. Because it's your ego telling you, all your ego wants to do is keep you in safety. Nothing to do with growth. Anything that's any form of difficulty, no, keep me in comfort. That sounds like a very slave mentality. This is why when a Jewish slave doesn't want to be free, they punch his ear out. They put a nail in his ear. They put a hole in his ear. You want to be a slave? Did you not hear the Torah? Did you not hear the whole purpose is to get out of Egypt? You still want to be a slave? So this is extremely important. Do not let mood and do not let resistance keep you in a very, very... Resistance is just teaching you. It's unbelievable. God created resistance to tell you exactly what you need to do. It's not even a question. That's where it is. Let things go and be merciful. That will lead you to tremendous happiness because you become, again, we co-create. We become just like God. Number five, exercise 4 times a week. It's a must. There's no better way to get Ritalin and Prozac naturally than to exercise and you have to move. And number one reason why is because you need the endorphins. Number two, because if you don't exercise, you're not gonna get in the best shape. Then you're gonna have low self-esteem from all kinds of body images, which is gonna hamper you to not feel good about yourself, which will make you overeat, and you'll have the hell with it mentality. So you have to take care of your body. Your body is a present by your creator. It's going to go when you go. So you've been given a gift. You know, when you take a rent, don't treat your body like a rent-a-car. You know, you rent a car, they come back, the rent-a-car looks like the whole world is over. People mistreat rent-a-cars. But if it's your car and you're driving a Bentley Cooligan, a Rolls-Royce Cooligan, the seat has to be careful. It's a whole different ballgame when you're renting a car. Don't treat your body like a rent-a-car. Move it. The Rambam tells us black and white. He says you should treat your body like you have a $10 million horse at the Kentucky Derby, that you're making money on this horse. And if the horse is sick, you're losing money. That's how you should treat your horse. You don't overfeed the horse. You take care of the horse. You have to treat your body. And not just for other people. For yourself, for your partner, you have to have energy. And if you don't exercise, I don't know how. And this is where not only is that a problem, but you can see today's everybody's posture's off. They're overlooking at the phone, the posture's off, back problems, sitting down more, and it became a disaster. So again, you must move. Even if you can't deal with it, do it anyway. That's 4 times a week I think you should do. 5 times even more. And there's no better study today for if you're older that's going to keep you healthier than exercise. All the studies are the same, that sitting is the new cancer. There's all kinds of research on this. Number 6, have a daily learning, daily time to learn. It's extremely important having a daily time, non-negotiable, to learn. No matter what happens in the world, you have to pick a time either to read something, to learn, to listen to a class. It's a must. It's a must. Rav Nachman spoke about it. They're going to ask you in the world to come. Did you set a time for Torah? Did you set a time, or did you run this world with no time for nothing? And sometimes our businesses can get caught up and can all of a sudden have no time. Yeah, you have to make it. All of these things, but at the end of the day, when you learn, you feel better. When you feel better, you pray differently. It's all connected. So do you have a set time for learning? Extremely important. Number 7, manage, believe it or not, all of this came in his Bodhidut. Number 7, manage your bookends. It's extremely important how you wake up and when you go to sleep. If you're going to sleep at 12, 1 o'clock, watching the Lakers lose, yay. And occasionally you want to go out once a week, twice a week, no problem. But if you're doing this every night, if you're going to sleep every night at 12, 1 o'clock, and you're waking up at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, do not expect anything. It's a terrible schedule. The night is supposed to be to go to sleep and to go into Muna. The night is the time of judgment. It's a time, that's why we say Shema at night. We close our eyes. We close our eyes because you have to go into faith. When you wake up in the morning, that's the time for you to have the most productivity. So going to sleep earlier, Tom Brady goes to sleep at 8 o'clock. And he's got 6 Super Bowl rings. Is that good enough for you? Everybody who's successful goes to sleep early and they wake up early. So you have to manage your bookends. If you put your phone away a certain time, the entertaining, again, once a week, you go out with friends, twice a week, whatever, that's it. But the entertaining that you're doing, for what are you entertaining yourself? I am trying to explain. There has to be a reason to entertain. You sell your company, you do this. Okay, entertain yourself. But entertaining should come after hard work, not before nothing. It's like going out on your birthday every night and having, you know, birthday cake. What did you do to earn it? So this entertaining thing today is becoming it's a form of completely running away, escape. So that has to extremely, you have to ask, these are deep questions. And this is why you're not feeling fulfilled, because you're just entertaining all day long. So it's extremely important, manage your bookends. Extremely careful. The days that I don't manage, that I can't wake up early, no class. I'm off on the class. Then I'm late. I don't have the same energy at work. And it's just a vicious cycle, by the way. One thing leads to another, and it leads to another. So there's a big price for entertaining. Manage your bookends. You should have at least 5 days. You're strong. 2 days, do what you want. Go weekend. You want to go out on the weekend, do what you want. Have 2 days where you can go, let loose a little bit, but 5 days, you gotta get back on that form. Number eight, avoid things that give you pleasure with absolutely no work, such as drugs, porn, anything that's instant gratification with zero work. Avoid it like your head's on fire. Avoid anything that will bring you to shame after you do it. How do you know? After you do it, do you feel better or do you feel worse? It's that simple. When you do a good deed, when you're empowering yourself, you feel better. Nobody feels bad after they go out of the gym and they put a hard workout in. Nobody feels bad. But people feel bad when they watch porn. People feel bad when they do things that are not aligned with their soul. Don't do things that are going to bring you klipot. So again, anything that goes involved in anything with any form of getting pleasure with no work, you're guaranteed to have shame. And shame is not going to get you in the game. Shame is going to get you out of the game. We want to check in, not check out. And you might have to change your friends. If you want to have a better life, you cannot hang out with the same people. You're the average of your five friends. Ask yourself what that looks like. You might have to say goodbye to some people. But you're not in the entertaining business. You're in the empowerment business. And you have to ask yourself, do you want to be the person in the game, or do you want to be always the fan in the game? Do you want to watch everybody win, or do you want to be the one winning? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Do you want to be a spectator, or do you want to be the player in the game? And that happens when you have a lousy schedule and no chance of real growth. Number nine. A daily hizbodedut, a daily prayer to your Creator. That is a must. There's no greater stress management than that. That means you're allowed to take everything that's happening in your day and you say, I'm having a conversation with my Creator. We will deal with it then. Because guess what? No clown, no person, no place is going to change until you change. And that's why we need hizbodedut. Because the reason why we're stressed is because we're looking at it the wrong way. Period. And what we need to do, we need to, like Isaac said in the podcast, which is going to be on God willing on Sunday, we need to take a step back and look at the big picture and see what opportunities instead of why we're so stressed, instead of look at it as an opportunity. So a daily hizbodedut is a must. And number 10, increase acts of service. Ask yourself, what can I give today? Who can I give? What can I do to contribute to society? What can I do for the world? Not what the world can do for me. Extremely important. You don't want to walk around with this victim mentality. What can the world do for me today? No, what can you do for the world today? So may Hashem help us all that take, again, you can add 11, 12, you can add ice baths, you can add, there's a lot of cherries on the top. You can do ice baths, that will give you also dopamine. There's a lot of other things you could do, obviously. Start something fulfilling, hobbies, something you're passionate about, that's extra. But these 10 things, I think, are a must. This, if you want to add to the recipe, you can add to the recipe. But this 10 things, I think, is a must. May Hashem help us all, that we should all be zochet to real happiness. Have a great day.